which the Lord has made, we will. This is the day which the Lord has made, we will. We needed a double dose today, church. I just feel like we always could use a double dose of that stuff. Whoo, man. Fellowship Wednesday this night, starting at 5:30. Hot dogs and hamburgers, we're coming. We're just getting together and we're fellowshipping with one another this Wednesday night. So be sure and put that on your calendar. Please don't say, oh, they're not doing Bible study. I don't need to show up. Man, we're doing more Bible in those fellowship nights than we are when we study the Word. Amen? And I don't mean that nothing's happening when we study His Word. That's just a great time to continue to do what the Lord tells us to do. Also, this Saturday is men's breakfast, 9 a.m. Here, Prayer of Faith in the Fellowship Hall. If you're a man, boy, a man cub, whatever you want to call yourself, come on down. Enjoy fellowship and food with us this Saturday. All right. 6 years ago today was my first day to stand on this stage as a senior pastor of this church. And for Eric and I to begin our new journey as the leaders of this church, what an amazing ride that has been for, I know, for Eric and I and for the church body. And I can tell you this, I'd rather shepherd this flock than any other flock. No telling what God has in store in the future, but let me tell you, where I am is where I love. And the sheep in this flock I love, and I love dearly. And I want to thank you personally for just the opportunity to shepherd you all. Thank you, Bob. It's been an amazing ride. I looked up and said, good grief. It's been 6 years, Eric. 6 years. And I'll get into that in just a minute once we get into our sermon. But today is the first Sunday of the month. And the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And as our men come forward to prepare for that, I want to read out of 1 Corinthians. And this is a thing that is familiar to us. We read this as we prepare for communion each Sunday or each month. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. We like to take an opportunity before we come to the Lord's table just to meditate on our past days, weeks, months, whatever it is, our life, if you will. Because it says, let us examine ourselves. So as we take an opportunity to examine ourselves before we come to the Lord's table. Lord, when we take a moment just to reflect and examine ourselves and survey the wondrous cross on which you gave your life for us, we pray that we come together today in unison, in one accord, to partake of your body that you gave for us. As we come forward, if you would, receive the elements, take those back to your seat, and we'll all partake of the elements in unison. The Lord's table is now open. We do have open communion here, so all those that are visiting are welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper. on the same night in which he was betrayed. Jesus took the bread, and after he had given thanks, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." "For as often as you eat of this bread, do this in remembrance of me." Church, let us eat. In a like manner, after he had supped, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. For as often as you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Church, let us drink. "For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." You may be seated. And are we dismissing the youngest children today, or they stay in here? Help me out. Everyone stays in here. Okay. I don't know why I thought some group disappeared. Okay. Maybe the adults all evacuate. I don't know. I want a double dose of "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it." Because our world has a lot going on in it. Amen. I know we had the shootings in El Paso yesterday, just tragic. And we just kind of look to God and say, "God, why do these things happen?" I don't know. But I wanted to take just a minute to pray over that. As a church body, one of the things that we said we'd do this year is be very intentional about our prayer and the things that we set forth to do. And so I'm going to take just a moment to pray for those victims and families, those that lost their lives, those that were injured. If you would bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we know that our word is such, our world is such, that these things happen and we question why and how do we prevent these. Well, we may not have answers for those questions that we have, Lord. Right now, we do pray for comfort and peace for the families that were touched by this tragedy. We ask you to be with those that lost their lives, be with their families, their loved ones, their friends, their co-workers, their churches. Lord, for those that were injured, that you be with them as well. Lord, for the person behind this, we ask that you be with him even. As difficult as that is for some, that you be with him. God, as our nation hurts, we hurt. As our church body hurts, we hurt. As our state hurts, we hurt. But what we pray is that we come together in unity and harmony. But when these times, when we find healing through these times, that we continue on in that same manner and path. Not leaving you behind when things get better, if you will. Lord, today we just come together with the community of El Paso, Texas, lifting them up as they face this tragedy. In Jesus' name, amen. So I mentioned 6 years ago, and I'll tell you the blessing of 6 years, and that's having a good partner to do it with. And Pastor Eric, I thank you so much for that. Because as we talk about burdens today, that is a huge burden. A huge burden to be in charge of a church body and a flock. And when you can spread that burden out between another, man, that's a huge weight. And by the way, for his wife, Kisha, my wife, Cindy, who's in Texas today, our other beautiful ministry partners as well. And church for you guys, your ministry partners as well. But I'm thankful today for my co-pastor, Eric, and our wives, Kisha and Cindy, as they help us alleviate the stress and pressure and burden that sometimes can be on us. It's been a beautiful journey. And one song comes to mind when I think about the last 6 years. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. And I think, man, if you know the words of that song, it's spiritual. And it just says, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. And that's what I thought as we go through this journey together. And we do, by the way, go through this journey together. Helping each other along, pushing, prodding, correcting, steering, turning. And I'm so thankful for that opportunity. If you would turn in your Bible to, or we're going to two places today. Actually, I had three, but God spoke to me this morning and said, right now we're not going to that third place. So right now, if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 52 or 55, Psalm 55, and then we'll be going to Isaiah 46. And Psalm 55 is just really a kickoff to where we're going in Isaiah. Psalm 55, verse 22. And that's really our scripture reading for today. Again, a springboard, if you will, a kickoff to where we're going. And it says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Amen. Let's pray one more time. Let's bow our heads. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer, amen. That's pretty simple. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. Is that an easy thing to do? Not easy all the time. Hey, just get rid of your burden. Hey, just come up here to the altar and lay them there. Guys, I've had these two bags in my hand. If I put one down, I'm out of balance now, and I don't know how to walk right. I will tell you this, if you're still hanging on those two burdens, or bags, if you will, you're not walking right to begin with. Amen? You're not walking right to begin with. The Lord says, man, I've got those, and I'm going to take those from you. Last Friday, I got a phone call from my brother, and he's up in Stroud in the hospital. They're working. And he said, hey, do you know any pastors that might be able to come up and talk to this guy? Yeah, I know one. You know I'm a pastor, right? This is my twin brother, deeply connected. I said, you know I'm a pastor, right? I can go. He said, this guy's been calling for 3 weeks and can't get anyone to come visit him. And I said, I'll be there tomorrow. And I went there to visit this guy, and this guy's had a lifetime. He's 56 or 57. He's had a lifetime of drugs. His father injected him at the age of 12 for the first time. Whew. Sometimes we think we have it bad. And his life has been filled with drugs ever since. His wife died of a drug overdose. His kids can't stand him because of who he is and what he's done in his life. And he said, I feel there's demons in my room, and they're swirling around here. So we got right down to it, and we started praying pretty quick. And we prayed for that room to be transformed and changed. And he said, I want Jesus to be in my life. And we talked about that, and we led him to the Lord, or I led him to the Lord. I said, you know, my twin brother could have done that yesterday. He goes, I know, but he's not a pastor. I said, he doesn't have to be. And really, if no one was around, you could do it on your own anyway. But he didn't understand that. He wanted a pastor. And I said, your life has changed from here on out, Charlie. Charlie's his name. And he said, when we were done, he cried and he sobbed as he prayed. And he kissed my hand repeatedly as I held his hands tightly. And we were done. He said, "Is that it?" I said, "Yes." He said, "It's that easy?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Why did I wait so long?" I said, "God is asking that same question of you, Charlie. But you and him can talk about it later because you're going to have a conversation when he calls you home. And it's going to be different than it was 5 minutes ago." Charlie asked me, "Is it that easy?" "Yes, it is, church." I said, "But the hard part now is maintaining this new life that he's given you, because he says, the old man is gone. I give you a new man, and you can put on the new man, and you have a new life in him." We went out to the helicopter pad. It wasn't busy, so we just sat out there talking. And Charlie said, "Pastor, can we pray again that same prayer?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "Are you sure it took?" And Charlie was serious. "Are you sure it took?" I said, "Charlie, did you mean it right in here in your heart?" He said, "Oh, yes, I did." I said, "Then it took. I assure you of that." Charlie again, "Why did I wait so long? My life has been a waste, and I am a burden to others." I said, "Charlie, can I share a story with you about Jesus on the cross?" He said, "Yeah, does it have to do with that lady named Mary something?" I said, "Well, sort of." But I told him about Jesus on the cross in between the two robbers, the two thieves. And I said, one mocked Jesus and said, "Hey, if you're the Savior, get yourself down." And the other one said, "Hey, hang on a minute. We get what we deserve. We're thieves. We get our punishment. We deserve our punishment. But this man has done nothing. And they've crucified him." He said, "Jesus, remember me." And Jesus said, "Tonight, what? You'll be with me and where? Paradise." And I said, "Charlie, if he calls you home tonight, that decision was well worth the few hours you had here on earth in his hands, going home to be with him." I thought when I called to check up on Charlie, and then Charlie taught me something. He said, "Do you have a spare Bible?" I said, "Why, no, I don't. Carry a spare Bible with you, Pastor." Okay? And so my brother went into the chapel, ripped the plastic off the Gideon's Bible. Thank you, Gideon's, by the way. And said, "Go give this to Charlie." And I gave him the Bible. Charlie said, "Can you get me some reader glasses, about a 2.75 or 3.0? I said, "Nathan will get those for you later tonight." Nathan, go get him some glasses so he can read this thing. But I thought, how profound. A couple days later, I called to check on Charlie. And I said, "How's Charlie doing, Nathan?" He said, "Well, he went to another hospital today. He's having a heart operation." And I thought, how profound, this man that now has a new heart for Jesus is getting a heart operation. And I've prayed for him daily. Charlie's had such a rough life. And Charlie said, "I'm a burden to everybody. And nobody loves me." I said, "Well, that's a lie from the enemy, Charlie. Let me tell you right here now." And I said, "Right now, I said, I love you. But someday I may disappoint you, Charlie. But Jesus Christ is here for you always. And he's always got you." And I said, "Charlie, when you look in that mirror, you're going to see a new man. It may be the same old face, but it's a new man in there." And I said, "Now God's going to ask you to make some amends with people that you have wronged. And some were deep and disturbing. They were deep and disturbing." And Charlie said, "Well, I can't do that." And I said, "Why is that, Charlie?" And he said, "I've made such a mess of my life. I can't talk to these people. They won't talk to me." I said, "If you have the ability to write a letter, just say simply, 'I've given my life to Christ and I ask you to forgive me.'" I said, "It's important just to tell people where you are. But Charlie, you've got to wake up new every day and renew your mind daily." Now turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 46. It's going to be a little bit closer towards the New Testament from Psalms where you were. And I've prayed for God to give Charlie strength to face each day new. He said, I don't know anything but drugs. He said, I never set out to do anything bad, but I've done some really bad things. At this point, that's between him and God to resolve. But I said, God is taking those right now, Charlie. You've got to give those to him. And he said, but I hang on to this stuff. I said, oh, set that baggage down at his feet because he's ready to take that off your shoulders. When we were done and I went to leave, I said, Charlie, do you feel better than you did an hour ago when we first talked? He said, oh, absolutely. He said, I feel like the weight of the world is off my shoulders. And that's what God has come to do. And that's one of the things God has come to do is release that burden from us. His mercies are new when? Every day, every morning. His mercies are new every morning. In Isaiah chapter 46, I'm going to read through this 1 through 13. Well, that's a whole chapter, so we're going to read through the chapter. And then we're going to come back and look at this real quick. And it says, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beast and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, it says, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And even to the gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on their scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on their shoulders. They carry it and set it in its place and it stands. From its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this and show yourselves, men. Recall to your mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I also do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near, and it shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Man, there's a bunch of stuff I want us to all grab hold of today before we walk out of here. And let's just go down the list. Let's look at these things. And it says in verse 1, I have idols and gods. And it said their idols and gods were on the beast and on the cattle. So they set those up there. But then it tells us in verse 2, they could not deliver the burden. I want us to remember that. As we look to people and places and things and alcohol and drugs to carry our burden. God is going to do it for a moment. But when that alcohol wears off, when the drugs wear off, when the people go away and are tired of carrying you, they will no longer be able to deliver you from your burden. They can't. In contrast, look at verse 3 and 4. And it says, listen to me. And through this chapter, there's a couple places he says, listen to me. And then he says, remember this or recall this. And in verse 3 and 4, he says, listen to me. All the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from my birth, or from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Oh, I love that when it says that. I am He. And He says, I've carried you from the womb. And then in verse 4, I love this. In verse 4, really verse 4 and 11, I love those parts of this chapter. And it says, I am He. I am He. And He says, I have made you. I love that. I have made you. He says, I will carry you. I have made you. I will bear you. And again, He says, even I will carry you. And then right after that, He says, and I will deliver you. The beast won't. The cattle won't. The people won't. The drugs won't. I will deliver you. I've carried you. I made you. I created you. And I will bear you. I will carry you and I will deliver you. In verse 5, He says, there is no equal. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? There's none like Him. Quit looking for an equal. Quit looking for a replacement. There are people constantly, if I could just replace God with something else, some other way, some other means, whatever. If we know His Word, then we know we can stop looking. Young people are scattered today. Young people over here. Got some young in there and got some young back here. I love it. By the way, that young lady right there was reaching out to God while she was praising and worshiping. Man, she was reaching for the stars, and I love it. Thank you for that. That was awesome. Oh, yeah, they're teaching us how to praise and worship, right? Man, dang it, I can't reach in it. Hey, I can stand on my tippy toes. Yeah, there we go. I can get even closer. So I love seeing that. Thank you for that. Just being an example. I love that too. Yep, I saw you during communion. By the way, I love our communion. When I see our young people coming up to get communion, I love that. That's church growth. Replenishing and replacing. Finding our replacements, if you will. Lord, I hope it's a long life for all of us, but finding our replacements. And in verse 5, though, He says, man, stop looking for the comparison because there is no one equal to me. Verse 7, and I love this. They bear it on their shoulders and they carry it. They set it in its place and it stands. From that place, oh my gosh, okay, they're going to set it right there. There it stands. Nobody shall move that. Whew, we've got our idol there. We've got our God. We've done justice by it. And then what does it say happens? Nothing. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his horrible trouble. Get me out of this. Why did you lead me into this? I hear nothing. And trust me, that bottle of water isn't going to do anything for us. To save us. To get us out of the things that we're facing. Now you may think, hey, if you were in the desert, that bottle of water is life. Jesus says, man, I'm the water and I'm the bread of life. You come to me, you will no longer thirst. Guess we don't need that little idol anymore. Oh, she's stretching. I thought she was praising God again. Amen! She's just getting a good stretch in. Verse 11. But I love it. It says, they cry out and nothing can happen from that. Verse 11 says, indeed, I have spoken it. Oh, man, I love it. Indeed. What does indeed mean? That just confirms something that has been suggested, maybe. Oh, my gosh, there's a suggestion that this may be. But when it says indeed, that means I'm confirming it. Indeed, for sure, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Man, no better promise than that. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Verse 12, again, he says, warns them, if you will. Listen to me, he says. But then he called him a name. It fit him. That's why he called him. Listen to me, you stubborn hearted, who are far from righteousness. He says, Charlie, listen to me. I bring my righteousness near, and it shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. And right now, what they're doing, they're talking to the remnant Israel and really kind of those stubborn people that are hanging out and hanging behind. He's saying, listen, guys, I'm giving you an opportunity to leave those dead idols behind and follow the living God. You know, as I mentioned with Charlie, nobody loves me. Charlie, I love you. And God loves you. Amen. There she goes. Man, all right, let's keep her. The encourager. But God loves Charlie. I told the band when I tell my Cinderella story to come up here, but hang tight just a minute. I may tell more about the Cinderella story than I planned, so just hold tight. I watched Cinderella last night. Okay? My oldest son is in Belize. My second oldest is at drill. My wife's down in Texas, home alone. I'm watching Cinderella. Okay? I'm watching Cinderella. By the way, it's the first time I watched it. Okay? Most of the Christmas in July is off the Hallmark Channel, so what better thing to do than watch Cinderella? Mercy, Eric, they may be replacing me after this week. I don't know, okay? But it really was a fascinating movie. I know the story, but I hadn't seen the movie before. And it wasn't because she sang Lavender Blue Dilly Dilly in it either, okay? Although, I did like that. And so at the end, the prince is looking for the one who fits the shoe. And they've checked the entire kingdom and they heard a voice. And they looked and said, is there someone else in the house? I thought, interesting. Remember when God was trying to figure out who's going to be the next king? He said, are there any others? Oh yeah, we got this younger brother. He's out with the sheep though. Don't pay any attention to him. He's the one. He's the guy. Cinderella, is there anyone else in the household? No. Really? Then your cat has learned to sing, he said. And they went in and found Cinderella up in the top. She's the gal. She's the one. And the prince came and she was walking down and she looked in the mirror. And I thought, church, we've got to get better at this. When we look in the mirror and see ourselves, we've got to know we're okay. We've got to be okay looking in the mirror at ourselves. Okay? And if we don't like it, fix it. If I don't like this hair, I can do something about it. Now, quite frankly, I'm okay with it. Okay? I'm not. Whatever. I showed the teens my bad mowing situation last night with a thorn bush. And I scraped my poor little bald head all up. And I thought, that's what happens when your wife isn't there to protect you and put a helmet on you while you're mowing or something. Point being, when we look in the mirror, my gosh, I get so far off. When we look in the mirror, we've got to be okay with who we're seeing in the mirror and who's looking back at us. And she walked down there. Band, you can come up. I hope I'm done digressing here. And when she walked down, she said, I have nothing. I'm Cinderella and I have no clothes, no dowry, no nothing. Will you take me just as I am and for who I am? And he looked at her and said, yes. And Jesus Christ is the same thing of you and me and the lost that are out there. Charlie, is it that easy? Yes. And he says, man, I will accept you without any special title, without any special possessions. He says, I'll accept you where you are. Now, when I take you, I want you to grow. John Maxwell said, change is inevitable, Growth is optional. There's always going to be change around us. If we choose to, we can grow through that and in that. And as she's leaving the house of bondage that she was for many years, she turns and looks at her stepmother, who's standing on the stairs. And she looks at her and she says, I forgive you. It's important that when Jesus accepts us for who and what we are and forgives us, that we in turn turn around and forgive those that have harmed us. Today he accepts you the way you are. But I want us to think as we sing, think of where you are. Is there somebody you need to call to Jesus? Is there somebody you may need to forgive? Is there somebody you need to ask to forgive you? As we play this last song, I want us to think about those. If you need prayer, I want you to come up. If you need salvation for Him to accept you just the way you are, I want you to come up. I don't have special powers, but I want to pray over you. At least let us know after service. I know we've got some medical things going on in the church. Dwayne, I would like to pray for you as we close in this song. And if you feel led to come pray for Dwayne, Dwayne will be having a procedure this Friday. And I don't want to give too much, but guys, this centers around his heart. And I want to pray for our brother and his wife and his children. Okay? Let's stand and worship. Dwayne, if you'll come forward as we pray, and anyone else that needs prayer.